The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Chaf Dalet on the base, teaches us. Hamashmiya Koyle B'Tfilosoi, if somebody raises his voice while he's davening, Hareza Mektani Amuna, he's considered a person that doesn't have the proper Amuna, because he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only hears our tefillah when we speak out loud. However, Amrav Huna, this halach that one must daven, that his voice should not be heard, is when he can have proper kavanah, that he can have the proper kavanah when he davens not out loud. If he can't have the proper kavanah davening quietly, mutter, then he may daven out loud, says the Gemara. V'hani mili, when was that said? B'yochid, when he's davening b'yichidus, av b'tzibur, if somebody's davening tefillah b'tzibur, so that is a new concern. Osur l'mitri tzibura, we're concerned that he's going to cause the people who are davening with him not to be able to concentrate properly, and therefore the halach is that when you daven tefillah b'tzibur, you always have to daven quietly. And all the Rishonim say that the reason why indeed one is supposed to daven quietly is based on a Gemara that we're going to learn soon on Daf Lamed Aleph, where we learn many of the Hilchas Tefillah from Chana, and it says, V'chana himedaberes aliba rak svaseha no'os. Chana was davening quietly, only her lips were moving, but she herself was not davening out loud. The Gemara here goes on to say that if someone does daven loudly, he is considered menevi'ei hasheker, because we find when Eliyahu had that debate, so to speak, with the nevi'ei habal, and the fire wasn't coming down for them, they started to yell and to scream, believing that that would help them get God's attention, which of course it didn't. The Mashah and other Mepharshim asked the question that the Gemara in Masechta Sota on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis offers a different reason why one is not supposed to daven loudly. The Gemara says, because if you're going to daven loudly, Chazal were concerned that if we're going to daven loudly, so people who during the Shemar Esrei, during the tefillah, are supposed to say vidui, and supposed to speak about the averus that they have done, but if they are told that they have to daven out loud, they'll be embarrassed to do so. So in order to avoid that, in order to avoid that embarrassment, Chazal said we should daven out lowly. Not low, not because of Tani Amuna, not because of Nevi'ei Sheker. So how do we understand this? So one pshat that the Mepharshim should say is that Gemara is referring to Tefillah B'Tzibur. When you're davening Tefillah B'Tzibur, so there is a concern that you'll be embarrassed if you have to mention your averus, or if that was the only concern. So then the only time you should daven quietly should be when you're mentioning your averus. But our Gemara is saying a different reason. It has nothing to do with davening, where you're davening. Davening out loud represents a issue of Ketani Amuna, as if God doesn't hear us, and therefore the halacha is one must always daven quietly. Actually, the Mashah says somewhat of a different teretz. The Mashah's teretz is that our Gemara is built on that previous Gemara. After the Gemara, in Masechta Sota teaches us that one should not daven out loud. So now, if one violates the Gemara, that Gemara Masechta Sota, and does daven out loud, what he's showing is that he's a ketani amuno. Because the Gemara says, don't daven out loud. Don't worry about Hashem not hearing your tefillah. And you still daven out loud. The Gemara says, now that the Gemara Masechta Saita taught us that one shouldn't daven out loud. So if one does daven out loud, and everyone else is davening quietly, then that's a tirchid tzibura that I'm davening out loud, and all the people around me are davening quietly. And therefore, only after we have the Gemara Masechta Saita does our Gemara Masechta Brachis start to make sense. That's the Mashal's explanation. Actually, the Mefarshim ask, why, Rabbeinu Yoina asks, and other Mefarshim ask, why is this individual who davens out loud only considered Miktani Amuna? Doesn't davening out loud, based on the way we're explaining, represent a total lack of Amuna? A person who's davening out loud seems to be showing to Hashem, I don't trust that you're going to hear my tefillah if I'm going to be davening quietly. So some of Farshim explain that the fact that the person is davening, you can't call a person who's davening a person who lacks Amunah. Because if he was lacking Amunah, he wouldn't be davening at all. The fact that he's davening shows that he has Amunah. But his Amunah, if he feels the need to daven out loud, is sort of a weak Amunah. Because a person who has a strong Amunah would know that he could daven out, could daven quietly. And that's why the Gemara uses the words Miktani Amunah. He's a low-level Amunah, not that he has no Amunah at all. The Sifsei Chachamim gives a different pshat. As we just quoted, the Gemara Masechta Saita teaches us that the reason one is supposed to daven quietly is in order that he should be able to speak about his Averis and be able to do tshuva. And in fact, he says, that's what we say in the tefillah, in Yom HaNeroim, v'chom maminim shuhu oin alachash, ha-peseach shar l'doifke b'shuva. V'chom maminim shuhu oin alachash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us oin alachash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven quietly. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven quietly? Because ha-peseach shar l'doifke b'shuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that if we're going to daven out loud, it'll become more difficult for us to do tshuva. So the Miktani Amunah, says the Sifsei Chachamim, is not a lack of Amunah Hashem. Of course, an individual who's davening certainly has Amunah Hashem. Pshat and lack of Amunah is that he doesn't have Amunah in the power of his tshuva. That a Jew has the ability and the power to do tshuva, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts that tshuva. That's the Ketani Amunah. He lacks that Amunah. Other Pshatim, other Mefarshim say that the issue of Ketani Amunah and the reason why the Gemara doesn't want us to daven out loud is a different concept altogether. Because if we daven quietly, while we're testifying, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only knows of our actions and our words, but he even knows of our machshavas. And part of the amunah that a Jew is supposed to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shor LeMeshiv, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, the Lemberg Rav explains this Gemara this way, is that a Jew is supposed to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even aware of our machshavas. And therefore, Miktani Amunah, if you feel the need to daven out loud, that shows that you don't have the proper amunah in believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our machshava. And he says a beautiful pshat. He says, the pasuk says, when a Jew brings the pikurim, he says, v'nisa v'amart l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. And if we look at Rashi in the Chumash there, Pashas Kisavai, Rashi says, v'nisa v'amart l'oshin haromas koil. One is supposed to raise his voice. So the obvious question is, we've just learned that one should not raise his voice when he davens. And here it says that one may raise his voice. The answer is, says the Rebbe Rav Herschel Mikruka, that what do we continue saying in the parasha of Mikra Bikurim? We say, Arami Oivet Ovi, that Lavan wanted to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. How do we know that Lavan wanted to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. It was only the Machshava. But we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of the Machshavas. So you know why Vanisa Vamata? You know why you allowed to daven out loud? Even though normally, as Al Gemara is teaching us, one may not daven out loud. That is, here it's different. Because here we're saying Arami Oyver Avi. And we're saying very clearly that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all of the Machshavas. Once we say that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all the Machshavas, there's no reason that we can't daven, as the Sholem Eishiv explained it, out loud. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Aleph Arachayim Sif Beis, Lo Yispala B'libay B'lvad, El Mechatech Hadvarim B'svasov, you have to be careful to articulate the word, U'mashmiel Ozna B'lachash, to the degree that you should hear what you're saying, V'lo Yashmi Koyle, but your voice should not be heard. V'meinu Yochel L'chavim B'lachash, but if you can't have the proper kavana, Mutalag Bia Koyle, you may raise your voice more, V'hani Mili, however, when was that said? Be'noi L'bein Atzmai, only when you're davening B'yichidus. Ava B'tzibur, when you're davening B'tzibur, that there's a concern of Osi L'mitri Tzibura, that your neighbor won't be able to have the proper kavana, there you should daven quietly. V'mashmiya koil b'beisoy, says the Ramah, k'dei shilmedu b'nei beisoy, if you speak, you say tefillah aloud, so that people should learn from you how to properly daven, then it's mutter. So there's much discussion amongst the poskim, what is the proper way how to daven, how should you daven? It's clear that the halach is that one should not just be maharer, one is not yoytze tefillah behiru, up to the degree that the poskim say that one was maharer's tefillah, he only thought of his divrei tefillah, he should daven over. He should probably make it tonight, the poskim say, Gemara that where Mitzvah Shem still will learn, and say that if this first tefillah was a kosher tefillah, fine. And if not, it was and this tefillah now should be in the davar. If not, this tefillah is a tefillah that I'm davening, that I'm obligated to daven. But what about, what is the right way to daven? So right now, first let's speak about Shemoneh Esrei. It seems, and this is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that the proper way to daven Shemoneh Esrei is clearly to pronounce every word, but to pronounce the words, just that you yourself should hear the words, that low that you yourself should hear the words, no one else should hear the words. But it should be low enough that you should hear the words. It should be high enough that you yourself should hear the words. However, the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar and the Mishnah Berurah as well, and this clearly the Poskim say was the minig of the Arizal as well, who take the opinion that one should daven completely quietly. He should enunciate the words, but not have them heard in any way. And many poskim take this approach of absolute silence by the Shemoneh Esrei. The Milchas HaLozer, in his Sefer Nemukei Arachayim, in Simen Tuf Kof Pei Beis, explains the reason why one should daven so very quietly. Because when one is standing in front of Hashem and being mispalo, he has to show as if he's completely nothing, that I have no voice even to speak. And therefore the proper way of davening is absolute, nobody should hear it. When it comes to Krishma, the Paiskim say, as we just learned earlier, that when you say the Krishma, you should hear the words of Krishma. So certainly there, following the approach that you should daven a little to the degree that one should hear, one should be able to hear his own words, has a lot more understanding. The Paiskim as well, even though it was the minig of the Arizal, as I said, to daven all of the tefillah quietly, The Mishnah Brura and other Paiskim say that the only tefillah that the Arizal ever raised his voice somewhat were the Psuki de Zimra on Shabbos and Yontif, the Kafachayim, however, and the Aruch HaShulchan clearly say that this halacha, where Al Gemara is being so strict about not raising your voice during tefillah, is only by the Shmoneh Esrei. In other tefillahs, one should not daven. So other tefillahs aren't such a big concern, especially the Paiskim take the Aruch HaShulchan says that when it comes to Psukah de Zimra, or Slichis, or Piyutim, or when we're saying Shirais Uz Shishbachais, the halacha is that one may daven louder. The Paiskim also discuss some other situations where one may daven a little louder. There's an interesting machloikis between the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozlo Gavarov, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Eretz Tzvi, where he, Chassidim Chof Dalet, versus the Chazon Ish. They discuss a situation which we see a number of people do, that when they get to Yal V'Yavai in Shmoneh Esrei, they say the words Yal V'Yavai out loud. And the question, and the reason they do it is because they want the people around them to hear and remember that we're supposed to say Yal V'Yavai today. The Chazon Ish says that if our Gemara is teaching us that one is never allowed to daven out loud, it doesn't make a difference by these words of Yal V'Yavai. They're part of the Shmoneh Esrei, and certainly one is not allowed to say them out loud. The Eretz Tzvi connects this question to a very interesting discussion, a Machloikas Rishonim, which is really relevant to the Gemara on Daf Chav Vav, where the Gemara discusses where someone missed Yal V'Yavai by a tefillah, and he has to daven over the Shmoneh Esrei. And there's a machloikis rishonim, what is pshat when one missed Yal V'Yavai, that he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei? Do we understand it to mean that it's as if he didn't daven that tefillah at all? Or do we understand it to mean that he davened the tefillah, but he missed the Yal V'Yavai? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be, let's say somebody forgot Yal V'Yavai by Mincha, and he only remembers at night, when it's already Ma'ariv time, where you can no longer daven Mincha, that, oi, by Shmoneh Esrei or Mincha, I forgot to say Yal V'Yavai. Does he daven to Shmoneh Esrei or Ma'ariv or not? What is the question? The question is really, how do we look at the tefillah without the Yal V'Yavai? Do we look at the tefillah without the Yal V'Yavai as if he missed that tefillah altogether? And if it's considered as if he missed that tefillah altogether, then he has to daven again. Like whenever the halacha is that if you missed the tefillah, you have to, if it was ba'oynus b'shoigig, you make it up at the next tefillah. If, on the other hand, missing Yal V'Yavai is not pshat that he didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei, he missed the Yal V'Yavai, but it's not that he didn't daven the Shmoneh Esrei, so then we could be more, there's no point in davening over the Shmoneh Esrei by Ma'ariv, because by your next Shmoneh Esrei, anyway, not going to be saying Yal V'Yavai, it's no longer Rosh Chodesh. So he says, that's going to be the issue here as well. If we say that Yal V'Yavai is an integral part of the tefillah on the days when Yal V'Yavai are recited, to the degree that a tefillah where you were supposed to say Yal V'Yavai and you didn't say Yal V'Yavai, it's considered as if you didn't daven that tefillah. So just like by the rest of the tefillah, you're not allowed to daven out, you're not allowed to say anything out loud as we're learning, so too will be the halacha by the words Yal V'Yavai. If, however, we don't learn Yal V'Yavai that way, and if we learn that Yal V'Yavai is only to be considered a tefillah, yes, it's an essential tefillah, it's a tefillah that we have to say, it's a tefillah that if we miss that tefillah, especially by Shacharis and Mincha, we have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, but it's not an integral part of the tefillah, then it's not, and the proof being that if it was missed and it can't be recited, you don't have to repeat that Shemon Esrei, then the halacha will be, we could be a little more lenient, suggest the Paiskim, we could be a little, suggest Eretz Tzvi, and you can't say the word Yalav Yoveh out loud. Reb Moshe, in Shiles of Tshuvas, it was Moshe, Arachayim Chelik Gimel, Simon Vov, discusses the situation of if one is davening in a group of Bali Tshuva or other individuals who are not that familiar with davening and they don't know how to daven and they need someone perhaps to daven out loud so that they can follow his tefillah, including the tefillah Shemon Esrei. And Reb Moshe takes a lenient approach based on what the Reb Moshe says, if you're davening at home and you raise your voice, in order that your family should learn from you how to daven, then it's mutter. So here too, when you're davening, it's not bebeisoy, you're davening in a shul, but it's a shul that is a group of people that unfortunately do not yet know how to daven, and you're davening out loud, in order to show them how to daven, we could take perhaps a more lenient approach. Another interesting question that the Paiskim discuss is what will be the halacha if somebody davened out loud and as he wasn't supposed to, and the person next to him heard his brachas. I davened Shemon Esrei, I davened it louder than I should have, and my neighbor who's sitting next to me here in shul hears me davening that way. What is the halacha? Does he answer amen or not? So it's important to point out that it seems that all the Paiskim are in agreement that the right thing to do under those circumstances is that the person sitting next to me, in order to avoid this question, should just walk away. Because by sitting next to me, he is now has a shayla, should he or shouldn't he answer amen? Answering amen is so critical. On the other hand, maybe he's not supposed to answer amen. So the best thing is for him just to walk away. There's a mashal that takes a chokhm in the Chokhmah Shloima, who takes a very interesting approach to this question. And his approach to this question is, it really depends on what is the definition of amen. Is the definition of amen, does amen stand for Kel Melech Neman, or does amen stand for Ato Melech Neman? And therefore the Chacham Shloima says, if it means Kel Melech Neman, you shouldn't say Kel Melech Neman when somebody's reciting a bracha that he shouldn't have recited it this way out loud. If, on the other hand, it is represented as Ato Melech Neman, then amen is just a recognition of who Hashem is, and therefore, even if I said it out loud, which I shouldn't have said this bracha that way, and my neighbor hears me, he should answer the amen. Actually, this question I saw is a machloikis of contemporary Paiskim. Rav Avadya Yosef in Chelik Eirachayim Simen Ches Sif Yud Aleph paskins that if I hear somebody saying Amen when he's davening the Shemon Esrei and I hear him saying a bracha loud enough that I should be able to answer Amen, the answer is I say the Amen. He says the only time an Amen should not be recited is when the bracha was corrupted, when the nusach of the bracha was corrupted. But if the bracha was recited properly, it was just recited out loud, then since the bracha does have the proper nusach, I should say amen. Rav Ozner, however, in Chelik Gimel, Arachayim Simen Tezvov, disagrees. And his opinion is that how could you say amen to a bracha that was recited improperly? If, as we're learning in our Gemara, and we saw that the Shulchan Aruch passes that way, one is not supposed to daven in a way that his neighbor should hear, there the halacha is that the amen should not be said to a bracha that was said the wrong way, even if the nusach ha-bracha was said properly. However, we could suggest that there will be situations where a Vosner perhaps will agree that one could say Amen. One such a situation is that the Shulchan Aruch discusses a situation where somebody came to shul, and he came to shul so late that the tzibur has already finished saying Tefillah Belachash, and there's no time for him to say the Tefillah Belachash and hear Tefillah B'tzibur. There's no other minion. Could he beat about Tefillah to say the Tefillah B'tzibur? What is the question? Because if he's only going to say the Chazar Sashatz, and he will have never have said the Tefillah Lachash, it turns out that this Tefillah is a Tefillah that wasn't said Belachash. And didn't we just learn that Tefillah must be said Tefillah Belachash? The answer is very simple. And the halacha indeed is that that's all he should do. He could say the Tefillah, the Chazar Sashatz, and he'll be Yoitzah the Tefillah. And the reason is, as we're explaining, because since he's saying this Tefillah, as the halacha requires, when is there an Isser to say Tefillah B'kol? When the halacha doesn't allow us to say Tefillah B'kol. But when the halacha allows us to say Tefillah B'kol, there is no problem. Here the halacha is allowing us to say Tefillah B'kol, and therefore there's no problem, and he could be Yoitzah his Tefillah. Another time when one could daven louder, says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Aleph Sif Gimel, and the same halacha is repeated in Hilchis Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Tuf Kuf Pei Beis. Yesh Oimrim Sheb Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Mutar Lashmi Koilim B'Tfila Afilu B'Tzibur V'Chei Noyagin. People daven louder. Makom Makom Yizharu Shlo Lagbia Koilim Yos Medai. Even in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, one should be careful not to daven too loudly. The reason why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are different. So the Rishonim give two different explanations. One is, in those times, people did not typically daven from a siddur. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, everybody davened from a machzor. And since everybody davened from a machzor, so it was easier for them to concentrate. And therefore, even if my neighbor is davening a little louder, it won't impact my concentration. That's one explanation. Another explanation is we know how important the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, since the tefillahs are so important, people sometimes are able to daven better when they daven out loud. And therefore, Chazal wanted us to be able to daven better in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And therefore, the halachah is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we could daven even louder. And therefore, say the Paiskim, that even the Shevet Halevi, who takes the strict approach about not davening loud, not answering Amen to bracha that was said out loud, will agree that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when the person davened louder and his neighbor heard his bracha, since the person who was davening that way, the Shulchan Aruch allowed him to daven that way, even he will agree you may answer Amen to such a bracha. It's interesting to point out that the Shulchan Aruch said that if you can't concentrate when you're davening quietly, again, the Shulchan Aruch said this is when you're davening b'yichidus, then you may daven out loud. So the Taz says that let's say you could concentrate when you daven quietly, but you could concentrate better when you daven louder and you're davening b'yichidus. What is the halacha? So the Taz says, daven louder, because you'll have better concentration. Mr. Bruce says, no, we don't follow this task. Probably the explanation is because our concentration is never that great. And the issue of davening out loud, as our Gemara now teaches us, is a serious concern. So it's better to daven quietly. It's better to daven quietly, low, even though you're with lesser concentration, than to daven more loudly with what you think is better concentration. The Mr. Bruce and the Bi'ah Aloch as well quotes a very interesting Bi'ah Halacha that said, quotes a very interesting Prisha that says, here we're saying, the Shulchan Aruch Al Gemara says, that B'tzibur, since there's an issue of Tircha de Tzibura, we always have to be quiet we always have to daven quietly. At home, there are different rules. So the preacher says, let's say you could daven only with proper kavana by davening louder. What's better? Should you daven at home be yechidus or daven tefillah b'tzibur? So the preacher says it's better to daven at home be yechidus. The Bi Halacha clearly disagrees, and he says tefillah b'tzibur takes precedence. And even if the person says, when I'm davening tefillah b'tzibur, I'm going to have to daven quietly, it makes no difference. Davening tefillah b'tzibur is more important than what you think. You'll have a better tefillah when you daven out loud be yechidus. The pre-tzaddik, and really this vart that I'm going to say now, is a vart that the Mabit says in his Sefer Beis Olakim. The Mabit asks a question. Here Al Gemara is teaching us how one is never supposed to daven out loud. Yet we do find different situations where people did daven, where the Pasuk says that they daven tzo'oka, v'yitzak al Hashem. So we see that there is a point in tzo'oka, in screaming and davening out loud. Yet Al Gemara takes this very strict approach against davening loudly. How do we reconcile this? So the approach that the Beis HaLakim and other Mepharshim say, that when one is davening and he's in distress, and when a person is in distress, he cries. You can't control that cry. That cry comes from the depths of one heart. In such a situation, there is no isser that one davened out loud. Because if it hurts, you yell. And the Pritzadik says that we see this in the Torah. The Torah says, Hakol Kol Yaakov. Says the Pritzadik. If we look at that Pasuk, the first time the Pasuk uses the word Kol, it's spelled just Kuf Lamed. The second time the Pasuk uses the word Kol, it's spelled Kuf Vav Lamed. So he explains, Hakol, when a first person comes to daven, so it's supposed to be Kol, without that extra Vav. It's supposed to be a quiet tefillah. But at a certain point, it starts to hurt so much, like the Beis HaLakim says, the Mabit says, I can't hold it back. And then it becomes a Kol. I yell and I cry in distress to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should hear my tefillah. And then it's a Kol with a Vav. You're even allowed to daven more loudly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that all our tefillah should always be heard.